Good afternoon.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Actually, it's evening, but
Yes, I know. That's okay.
know what? I'm a little spaced out today. What can I tell you?
You are by yourself.
Waiting for somebody else, I take it.
Well, I just got on. I was kind of late, so.
Yeah. I just
Malcolm.
got off. Good evening, Malcolm.
Good evening.
So, please join us in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yadula Chimincha.
Has joined.
Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sitkarha Tamid Gamblem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel Hasim Kadosh Berov Tuha Nael Adata et kufbet tet nunayan. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kedushata yud gimel lamed pe zayin kuf. Gavatenu kabel ushmat yakatenu yodeyata lumo Shin Kufat Tari Yudha. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe. El Rahum Vechanun Erch Apaim Beral Chesed Be'emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Nose Awon Wafesha Vechata Avinake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Parashat Yitro from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's known as Pasuk 29. We will begin with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urkimu Udkilu Udkilu Urkimu Liakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate V'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei aleinu maasei yadeinu kananeihu. Rabbi Abba amar bekama atar tanenan dekudsha berichu koma deaved leila vetata. Kolayu kishot biovada dikshot lelei lach mila bialma divaye barnash vadach yale ya mine ya ulan haga
Has joined.
The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. In order to connect to this energy, we study a verse from the Tanakh that has that same energy. The verse we study is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisanti makom leami leYisrael untati wishakam taktav willow yergaz od willow yosipu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. The energy of our current year, 5782. Is a mixed energy. There's three different essences within this year. We study three verses to connect to each one of each of the three specific energies. The highest energy, the energy that we most desire, is that of peace, peace throughout the world. So we study the verse from Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 21. Emor levet Yisrael ko amar Adonai Elohim hineni mechalel et mikdashi je'on eluskem mat machmad enechem. Umachmal nafshechem, uvnechem, uvnotai, uvnotechem, asher azavtam, v'cherev yipolu. A second verse that we study is also from Ezekiel. It's chapter 16, verse 39. When natati otach bi adam leharsu, gabech v'nitzu rematayich, v'tifshitu otach begadayich, v'lachau kalei. And the third verse is from Jeremiah, chapter 37, verse 13. Vayehihu b'sha'ar binyamin b'sham ba'al. Kidut Ushmo Iriyah Ya Ben Shalem Ya Ben Hanan Ya Vaipos Eran Yermiyahu Hanan Vio Lemor El Hakas Bimata. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala meheshi lala heyaka akaheta. Ezayo aladala awahe heya Yo zala me be hey hey re yo hey come la awa kala yo la wa wa pe hey la nu la ha yo 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 me la hey 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 wa nu ta hey hey ya ya hey hey ah ah yo re ta shi ya hey re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he, ta wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he a me, re he a yo yo za. He he he. Me yo ha wa wa la yo la he. Sa a la re yo, a shi la me yo he. Wa he wa da nu yo, he he chi ma me me. Nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he a nu a me he yo da me be me nu ko a nu a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me hai he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a a me da he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi ya yo re ta shi ya he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo 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 wa la he he ka a ko me nu da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. He si he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he. Sa a la re yo a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me re yo re la he be he me ta re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a sa he ke wa re la he yo yo me he la yo he me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 29th day of Tishrei, Don Yitzhak Abarbanel, very famous, very strong, very well-known Kabbalist. Rabbi Meir ben Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Others have said that he was, his Hilulah is on the 27th. Some Rabbi Meir Shimon HaTzadik of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vizhnitz, Rabbi Akiva Glasner, Rabbi Shmuel Tzvi Danziger. He's known as the Alexander Rebbe. Connect to the Anim meditation, which is a tool we use to rise to the level of our class tonight. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey. Yesod, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu. Od, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Yi ahini wu yohi. Yi ahini wu yohi. Yi ahini wu yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahuni wu yohu. Yo ahuni wu yohu. Noah. Yo ahuni wu yohu. Yevora. Ye'ash, niwi yosh. Ye'ash, niwi yosh. Ye'ash, niwi yosh. Hesed. Ye'ah any way yo hair. Ye'ah any way yo hair. Ye'ah any way yo hair. Bina. Yea, ahini way, yo hey. Yea, ahini way, yo hey. Yea, ahini way, yo hey. Achma. Ya ahani way, yo ha. Ya ahani way, yo ha. Ya ahani way, yo ha. Keter. Ya ahani wa yo ha. Ya ahani wa yo ha. Ya ahani wa yo ha. Our class tonight is a teaching by the Ari. You'll find the handout on the revealed weight, revealed wisdom matrix. When that landing page opens up, please scroll down to section 14, second column from the left, and that link will take you to another landing page, which is all of the classes of the Ari, and then some. Please scroll down to the parasha of the week, which is Noah. And under the parasha of Noah, we'll take the third link, which is titled As soon as my page opens up, I'll be able to tell you what the title is. title is Towering Blunders. And this is a discussion of how the king Nimrod, who was the king in the city where Abraham was born, the king of Nimrod was reincarnated into Nebuchadnezzar, also a king of that area. On one hand, Nimrod chased after Abraham, and in Nebuchadnezzar, he actually defeated Israel and conquered it. Although in the long run, he lost his kingdom as well. Toward the end of the Parashat Noah, the Torah relates the story of the Tower of Babel. According to the oral Torah, the king who masterminded and led this revolt against Hashem was Nimrod, who was mentioned in the preceding chapter. Know that the incident of the Tower of Babel and Nimrod transmigrated into the person and career of Nebuchadnezzar. And this is why he erected the statue in the Dura Valley. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and erected it in the plain of Dura in the country of Babylonia. A cubit is about a foot and a half, and so this statue was around 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Nebuchadnezzar was a reincarnation of Nimrod, and the statue was a reincarnation of the Tower of Babel. Just as in the time of Nimrod, when the whole world spoke the same language and had one ruler, Nebuchadnezzar also ruled the whole world. Thus it is written, I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The numerical value of the word for clouds alludes to the 72 nations. The verse quoted was spoken by or reflects the sentiments of Nebuchadnezzar. The numerical value of the word for cloud in Hebrew, av, spelled Ayin Bet, is 72. Normally, the Torah speaks of 70 nations. It is not clear what the additional two refers to. I am adding, there is so much that one can learn from the above two paragraphs. Here is the original Hebrew verse. Ola al bamatai av ad male aliyon. The fourth word, ayin bet, is translated as cloud. Do you really see a word like with a deep essence of see a house as actually meaning a cloud? I don't. The Ari is presenting the idea of Nimrod and Nebuchadnezzar being at a minimum of the same soul, and the statute being similar to the Tower of Babel. The full translation in English is, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now substitute the 72 names for cloud. I will ascend above the heights of the 72 names, and I will be like the Most High. Does it make more sense now? The translator said cloud so it would be understood, yet it corrupted the understanding and hides the relationship, since the translator does not have the job to tie everything together. Yet the Ari and the students of Kabbalah do have this task. This is my opinion. Nebuchadnezzar wanted the Jewish people to bow down to this statue, along with everyone else. And indeed, had Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, God forbid, bound down to it, Israel would not have been able to arise, to come out of the exile. King Nebuchadnezzar also intended to build a tower and a city. Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed that he saw a statue whose head was gold, whose chest and arms were silver, whose stomach and thighs were copper, whose legs were iron, and whose feet were iron and clay. Daniel told him that the components of this statue were the kingdom of Babylonia, which is the gold head, and the empires that would succeed it in ruling over the Jews. By making a similar statue entirely of gold, Nebuchadnezzar sought to subvert the prophecy and perpetuate his kingdom, the kingdom of Babylonia. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were Daniel's Jewish companions who refused to bow down to the statue. Nebuchadnezzar punished them by having them thrown into a fiery furnace, but they emerged unscathed. Nebuchadnezzar also intended to build a tower and a city, as it is written. Is this not the great city of Babylon that I built up into a royal house with my powerful strength to glorify my splendor? The people who built the Tower of Babel had said, "Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches the heavens, and we will thereby achieve glory." He built the statue in place of the tower. He wanted to receive the divine beneficence via the 70 celestial princes, hoping that perhaps in this way Israel would be unable to arise from the exile, and Hashem's beneficence would be directed toward the forces of evil. I am adding, do you think a human being thinks about holiness and evil in this way? Obviously, the Ari does, and he is describing the unconscious thoughts of Nimrod. God set up the workings of the world such that ideally, his beneficence flows primarily and directly to the forces of holiness and goodness, in order that they have what they need to carry out his purpose. Only a residual flow of beneficence reaches the forces of evil, just enough to keep them in existence so that they can fulfill their role on the scheme of things. Evil also does not receive its life force directly from Hashem. Rather, each nation receives its divine flow via the celestial spiritual archetypal angel, or prince, the Hebrew word nasi. This is why non-Jews are allowed to believe in a certain degree of idolatry, that God shares or distributes his power to other celestial beings. However, when those who should be acting righteously sin, they forfeit their preeminence and increase the power of evil, allowing it to receive the divine flow. First, the torches of good then have the forces of good then have to receive their beneficence via the forces of evil. And this is the condition known as exile. King Nimrod was the Keter of evil. That is why he was known as the king of Sheshach, for the numerical value of Sheshach is the same as that of Keter, 620. Sheshach in Atbash is Babel or Babylonia. But in the Hebrew, Babel means confusion. Sheshach is spelled Shin Shin Kaf. 300 plus 300 plus 20 is 620, which is the Keter, spelled Kaf Taf Resh. 20 plus 400 plus 200, also 620. Hashem in his mercy confounded his plan and ruined his intentions, and the statue fell on its face, for it was overcome by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were saved from the fiery furnace, just as our father Abraham had been saved. Similarly, God humbled Nimrod before our father Abraham, and he was saved from the fiery furnace. When Abraham became known as a crusader against idolatry, Nimrod had him thrown in a fiery furnace. But Abraham emerged unscathed. When Nimrod saw that his scheme to get rid of Abraham failed, he gathered four kings and waged war against five kings, all in order to snatch the divine beneficence from our father Abraham. Nimrod and his people knew the mystical names of God and employed them for practical use. After the incident with Nimrod and the fiery furnace, Abraham and his family left Babylonia to eventually settle in the land of Israel. The Torah then relates how King Amraphel of Shinar, which is another name for Babylonia, joined forces with three other neighboring kings and waged war against the five kings of the city-states in the land of Israel. When they conquered them, Abraham
has
went
joined
to rescue his nephew Lot, who had been taken captive, and defeated this confederacy of four kings. The oral tradition identified Amraphel with Nimrod. When Nimrod and his people built the Tower of Babel, God said, "Behold, they are one people with one language, and this is what they have begun to do. Now shall nothing be denied them of all they scheme to do." How could Hashem say, "Shall nothing be denied them"? Even though man does possess free choice, would it be so difficult for Hashem to prevent them from fulfilling their evil schemes? And in fact, he does prevent them from fulfilling evil schemes. Why then does God apparently have to do something to ensure that mankind will not be able to do all at once? What they were after, rather, was the following. They knew the mystical names of God and employed them for practical use. They were familiar with all the various angels and their positions in the celestial hierarchy, and were able to control a specific angel by using a divine name to adjure the angel that controlled it. This is what is meant by the technique of adjuration via the use of holy names. We know how to use them to adjure a lower angel in the name of the higher angel that influences and controls it. If the lower angel attempts to do other than what we have adjured it to do, it will not work at all. The generation of the dispersion knew all this. The generation of the dispersion is the generation of the Tower of Babel. Thus it is written, then it was begun to call in the name of Hashem. For in the times of Hanoch, they knew how to manipulate God's names. The explanation given to this verse by Onkelos, that in this era, mankind began to serve idols, accords with this explanation. For it means that with the knowledge that they used to manipulate the divine names, they caused divine beneficence to descend to idols. Thus, both explanations mean the same thing. Now, this technique would not have worked had they not known how to combine the letters and names in Hebrew, for it is impossible to manipulate these names in any other language. Thus, it is written, the whole earth was of one language and united words. The numerical value of the words for one language in Hebrew, Safa Achat, plus the kolel is the same as that of the words the holy tongue, in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. Safa Achat, spelled Sin Pei He, Aleph Chet Tav, is the Gematria 795. Lashon HaKodesh, spelled Lamed Shin Vav Nun, He Kuf Dalet Shin, also has a gematria of 795. United words refers to the use of God's names, for they express His oneness, and their use involves combining with and unifying them. The phrase, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, refers to the idol they wanted to make. They wanted to behave as bad as they wished and not submit to the rules of holiness. The phrase, whose top reaches heaven, refers to the fact that they wanted to give this idol the ability to channel the divine beneficence to them by manipulating God's names. As above, they knew that this idol would be powerless unless it could receive power from holiness. Their intention was that it would force divine beneficence to be channeled to them via their use of these names. Even though they would not behave properly and earn the divine blessing, they wanted to behave as bad as they wished and not submit to the rules of holiness. After all, it takes great effort to deny oneself the material lust, and they wanted to enjoy the pleasures of this world unhindered and have the idol channel goodness to them by force of the divine names, as we said. The one who masterminded all this was Nimrod, for he was the leader of the generation of the dispersion. He was extremely adept at this technique of manipulating divine names. The same was Nebuchadnezzar's intention, for he was a reincarnation of the wicked Nimrod. Therefore, the letters that make up their names are similar, as we will show. Nebuchadnezzar is spelled Nun Bet Vav Kaf Dalet Nun Tzadi Resh. Nimrod is spelled Nun Mem Resh Vav Dalet. five letters that spell Nimrod could be aligned with the first five letters that spell Nebuchadnezzar. And the last three letters of Nebuchadnezzar spell the word for ruler, in Hebrew, Netzer. Netzer is spelled Nun Sadi Resh. The beginning and last letters of Nimrod and Nebuchad are the same, Nun and Dalet. And I am adding, the first and last letter technique is a tool to convey similar energies. Thus, Nebuchadnezzar can be interpreted as meaning King Nebuchad, Nebuchad alluding to Nimrod. The idol statue that Nebuchadnezzar made was intended to fulfill the same function as the city and the idol tower that Nimrod built. Furthermore, Nebuchadnezzar also built the statue with the power of divine names, for he took the headband of the high priest on which was engraved God's name, Haviah, and placed it on the mouth of the idol. The priestly garments, including the high priest's headband, had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar with the fall of Jerusalem and taken to Babylonia. Had they not known Hebrew, they would not be able to manipulate God's names. Thus the statue spoke and said, I am God, your God. It was actually speaking the truth, for the divine name on the headband was speaking. But the people were tricked into thinking that the statue was saying this. Daniel climbed up to the statue's head with ladders that they brought him, because he said he wanted to kiss the idol. When he kissed it, he removed the headband from its mouth, and it immediately toppled. It could not stand naturally, for it was 60 cubits tall and only 6 cubits wide. It was only because of the divine power of the name Haviah engraved on the headband that it was able to stand. About this it is written, I will punish Bel in Babylonia, and I will remove from his mouth what he has swallowed. Bel was the idol of Babylonia. What was swallowed in his mouth was the name Haviah. This is the meaning of behold, they are one people with the same language, meaning that had they not known Hebrew, they would not be able to manipulate God's names. But this they had to have begun to do, meaning that the sole reason they were able to begin this was because they spoke Hebrew. Therefore, they will not be withheld, for by using the divine names and their power to adjure the angels, they would be able to do whatever they wanted. The parable for this is that once there was a king who once gave the keys to his storerooms to a number of people, who then could enter his storehouses whenever they wanted. In order to prevent such abuse, the king changed the locks, and these people could no longer open them. God did the same here. He changed his names, as it is written. Come, let us descend and confound their speech. Furthermore, he confounded their language so they could no longer speak the holy language. And even if they would try to adjure the angels in other languages, this would be totally ineffective. He therefore made them forget Hebrew, and thus they no longer knew how to do anything like this. And that is the end of this essay, this teaching for tonight. I would like to give an unwritten commentary to expand a little bit. There is a prophecy, although it's probably a midrash rather than a prophecy, that the 10 most negative human beings that come into this world that have ever been manifested in this world, they will come in the final generation and be kings of various nations. And it is an interesting process to try and determine which negative human being is which authority of the various countries. On the one hand, the Twin Towers that were destroyed in 2001, when they fell, what's being rebuilt is a single tower. On another level, there is a king, I believe the city is Dubai, but it's in the Middle East, and what's being built or has been built is the largest, tallest building in the world. Ultimately, the top of that building is in a rarefied area of space where you cannot breathe if you were outside of the building. One cannot know who is which. But it's fun to kind of look at the traits of the previous negative people and see how they relate to the traits of the leaders of the countries today. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts about our class tonight? While you're unmuting yourself, I'll remind you that we have tomorrow 4 classes. At 7 a.m. West Coast time, we will study the third Aliyah of Parashat Noah. At 11 a.m. West Coast time, we will study, I believe it's chapter 4 of the Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges. At 4:30 p.m., we will study the Deep Zohar class. And at 7 p.m., we will be teaching the Tikkuni Zohar from the Prophet. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts? If there are no questions or comments or thoughts, I wish you all a beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Shalom.
Hello. Thank you. Have a good night.
Hello.
Shalom. Thank you all.
Thank you. Shalom.